Assemble.
BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Welcome to BRB UK episode 402 of podcast that's all about video games, unless we go off on tangents and talk about other things. Speaking of tangents, with me today, Tim Hibbs.
Why am I a tangent?
We like tangents.
And your
the
intro...
The little orange fruits, right?
Yeah. They're great. Yeah, they're
delicious.
Yeah, your intro made me feel hot and tired just listening to it.
I'm already hot and tired, and we've only just started. Another man who is also hot and tired is Dan, and that is why he is not with us, because apparently Slough is hotter than the rest of the entirety of London.
Yeah.
I think I misread his message, but I got the impression he was claiming bigger heat in Slough.
more big heat.
More big heat. Dan's stuck at work again. That's 2 weeks running. So we will, he'll have to, as punishment, he has to do next week's show all entirely on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we're a host
just
down this week.
Just his underpants.
Yeah. We're a host down this week, but luckily that's the only bad news. But oh no!
Oh no!
Yoshinari Ono is going to leave Capcom. And I thought this might hit you hard, Tim, as you've got that one picture of you and him that you really like.
I met him on a press event thing for Street Fighter 4. I think it was a pre-launch event for that, basically. So, yeah, it's going back a bit now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, I don't know, he definitely breathed an enthusiastic new life into the series, but it does sound like it has taken its toll on him over the years as well, basically.
Yeah, he's kind of cited working in this kind of COVID times and just it's time to move on, basically, after 30 years at Capcom. There's rumblings behind the scenes, like they're not happy with his input for Street Fighter VI and he's not happy with them not being happy. And it is kind of back and forth. I was watching an interesting thing about the history of, is it Darkstalkers, the kind of 2D anime fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where everyone's, well, Morgana comes from. Everyone's a vampire. Yeah. And he was looking to have that rebooted and brought to current consoles. But every time it seems to be the first two games just redone and put a coat of polish on them. And they've done that three or so times now. So I think if they gave him Darkstalkers to work on instead of Street Fighter, then everyone could have been happy and we would have kept him.
I remember when I met him, I asked about rival schools rather than that possibly. And also that I really wanted a Street Fighter RPG where you went around the world like having to beat different fighting styles to learn that fighting style kind of thing.
Yeah, but now you've got the story mode in Street Fighter 5.
I just thought it'd be really interesting to have like a Street Fighter character that was like a build your own character that you made by going different places around the world and like having to learn from different masters and beat different people and stuff like that. I thought that could have been an interesting way to do a Street Fighter story, basically.
What about if they did a Street Fighter game where it's a platformer brawler and you play as Ken in the distant future of 2010? Would that be good?
No.
Yeah?
They tried that already, Coleman. That didn't work.
Did they? Oh, was it good? Was it the best game ever?
It was not even the best Street Fighter game ever, Coleman.
Okay. That's a low bar. when you've got the original Street Fighter out there, that's quite the bar. But yeah, good luck to Yoshi Ono. He's worked on a lot of games. He's worked on Devil May Cry, Onimusha, Resident Evil Outbreak, and then moving on to the Street Fighter title. So it'll be interesting to see what he goes for next. But yeah,
I mean, Street Fighter was the one where he really came to prominence and was a bit more of a known household name. Well, I say household name, but a household name amongst gamers. Kind
Your
of
mum
thing,
knows
you know
about
you,
Yosha.
But yeah, like... Right, it's sad to see him go, and...
But I'd love to watch him leave.
Yeah, and like he's obviously, as I said, added a real lot to the series and kind of brought Street Fighter almost back from the dead kind of thing, right? A lot of people don't remember. There was a massive number of years between Street Fighter 3 and Street Fighter 4, and not very many good Street Fighter games in between kind of idea.
No, I was one of those kind of fan, like mega fans when Street Fighter 2 came out, and went to the arcades to play subsequent versions of Street Fighter 2 and every update that came out, and had home versions of the game. And Virgil's as well. I had all the Street Fighter 2s. And after that kind of glut of just every iteration of Street Fighter 2 you could possibly do, the series kind of fell off a cliff for me. So I didn't even know. When we got to 4, I was excited because I was like, oh, Street Fighter's back and it looks great and I'm happy. But like, I did try a couple, EX Plus Alpha, and I don't think I ever tried Third Strike or anything like that at all.
See, Third Strike I never spent much time with and possibly should have done and can enjoy. And I kind of like what I've seen of the parry system since, and I kind of understand why people are, like, took to that. But then, I think I liked EX Plus Alpha more than most people.
So did I, but that's because I just liked 3D fighters at the time. The future is now, and Street Fighter's in the future.
Yeah, and seeing Street Fighter in there. And who is the guy? Was it D-Dark, his name?
D-Dark, Skullamania.
Skullamania. And there's a few characters that just, like, you know, I kind of liked and have become sort of cult favourites, but haven't really reappeared in Street Fighter again.
And they've now gone off, and there's two, three years ago, there was a fighting game release, and it's all the extra characters from EX Plus Alpha that aren't Street Fighter characters, and that's spun off into its own thing. We played a bit of that. The title escapes me, though.
And I don't know. Like, as I said, there was a bit of a dearth in between, and he did breathe new life into it, but I can't blame him, and I can fully understand, and I'm also not at all surprised. From what we'd heard of, you know, that he's stepping down in general. But, yeah, from what we've heard of everything that's gone before, like, it makes sense. So he was definitely burning himself out on Street Fighter V, basically, and you could kind of hear and see that between the lines.
I believe one of the other things I heard as well was, because they did say, after Season 2 of the DLC content, that was it, no more DLC, they're going to start working on Street Fighter 6. And not that long ago, announced a third season of Street Fighter character DLC, to which apparently he was quite attested that he didn't really want that happening either. So we don't know. Hear rumblings from behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Don't know what's true and what's not.
I don't know this is necessarily bad news, because it sounds like it could be a good thing for Ono and for the Street Fighter series.
If rumblings are true, then he could be happier elsewhere on a new project, and the staff could be happier doing what they want to do.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of people that would like to be heading up a Street Fighter project. It's just,
I'll give it a go.
Yeah, will they bring as much to the table as Ono-san did? Who knows?
Like, half circle punch, bam, done it. Lovely. Yep. Good. But that's the only bad news this week, and nothing got delayed at all. Oh, no, wait! Halo! Halo Infinite has been... in the same week, not only did we get the leak of the Xbox Series S as listed on the side of a controller pack, because the controllers are in the wild now, apparently, by accident. Illegally, allegedly.
But okay,
Illegally. But Halo Infinite has been delayed. It was meant to be a launch game with the new console. That's now been pushed back to 2021. And before we get into that, I do have a question from one of our listeners. So from Spiky Chris on Discord, he said he's got a question about Halo Infinite. How much of its delay is down to COVID, and how much is down to it getting absolutely slammed when it was announced?
Yes.
I think you've got a little from column A and a little from column B.
I'm not even sure. COVID's having an effect on everything, but I would have thought if it was solely COVID, it would have been announced as a delay previously. I'm not sure they would have announced it as it had, and then a short time later. I think you've hit the nail on the head in the second part of that question, and that's exactly what I was about to say as well. I think this is a reaction to how badly everyone panned the graphics, and they have basically now said, okay, we're going to have to redo the graphics. And that's obviously led to the conversation of, well, if you want the graphics redone, we are going to need a delay.
Yeah, I mean, this is now the kind of the precedent that's been set for press releases regarding delays now, because the kind of during multiple factors with continued development changes, thanks to COVID and what have you, they basically cited that to save the team from stress and crunch hours and things, that they're moving the game development back to 2021. But I think you're going to hear that from any game that gets delayed now. Oh, to save our team crunch, because we know you don't like crunch. We're going to hear that all the time now. But yes, so if you're getting your Xbox Series X, Scorn, Yakuza, and Game Pass.
Yeah. Anyone that was listening to, you know, when we went through the whole Xbox showcase thing, we thought it was a bit sparse on the ground before they delayed Halo Infinite. This was the one thing we had, and we said it was a bit of a problem that it wasn't looking that great. Is it going to be another one of those things where we're like, you're not ready to launch a console, maybe don't launch your console yet? Like, I know they want to get it out before Christmas and to compete with Sony, but we've already mentioned quite a few times about them positioning themselves to possibly be your second console, not your first, and that probably being a good idea for them to be like positioning themselves in that position. I think they don't do themselves right. There'll be executives on their board and everything arguing that they have to get it out before Christmas because they have to try and bite into Sony sales. I don't think that is going to be significant enough for them to do that. I think in some ways they might actually be better off delaying it and launching it next year, and giving people a bit of breathing room between buying the PS5 and then having a bit more spare cash and going, oh, actually, yeah, I might pick an Xbox up now.
I seem to remember the Xbox One when that launched, because I didn't have one of those on launch, but they had them out at loading bar. And other than the kind of trial Killer Instinct, which had two characters and a Forza game, that really seemed like a dead launch to me as well. There didn't seem much going on. That Rise, Son of Rome, maybe? I think that was a launch game.
I think you'll find that was one of the best launch games at launch.
Okay. Sure, why not?
There was... Well, just on this point alone, I can't think of another game that made fun use of the Kinect. Like, ever. Let alone at launch. There certainly wasn't any others at launch that made... like interesting and fun uses of the Kinect.
I played like a Fight Club style game where you'd fight people in the dirty alley from Ubisoft, and I
that was a game,
I tore my groin trying to play that game. That was fun.
Good.
It wasn't. I can't remember. Uncaged Fighters or Fighters Uncaged or something like that.
Rented
it out and tried to do a roundhouse kick and really, really did myself a hospital trip.
That game wasn't worth even worth a plaster, let alone a hospital trip.
Well, my old housemate bought a Kinect, was chuffed to bits with this thing, and it had some decent games that were pack-ins because they're all done by Rare, and just didn't, the gimmick didn't feel like enough to be. I'm going to go on a tangent now. See what I'm talking about. The gimmick didn't seem like enough to be for you to buy full priced games. So anything that I'd ever play on that game was a rental or a demo, and that was it. Anyway, away from the Xbox and over to Sony. So last week we had the Sony State of Play, some PlayStation games for 4, 5, and PSVR.
And thanks Sony for doing it an hour after the show. Well, yeah, a couple of hours.
It was an hour after the show. Well, it was a couple of hours after the show. We couldn't really delay for this, and they said ahead of time. There's nothing huge coming out. Don't get your hopes up. Don't Xbox us. Don't Nintendo us. Like, temper your expectations. And I made the decision. We're not going to delay the show just for the state of play. We'll save it for next week because everyone's kind of spoken about it, and it wasn't a huge show. So I'm going to allow you, Tim, to pick two games that you're excited about.
The one I was most excited about. I think it was the only one I actually bothered tweeting about from the actual event, and that was Hitman 3. Like, we knew about the game already, but they announced the fact that there is a VR element to it. Not only that, the thing I thought was even better is the fact that the the first two games in the trilogy will also be compatible in VR as well. So they showed off the fact that that seems to also even, I'm guessing, and I don't know this, but I'm guessing that there may be a first-person view available in Hitman 3 as well, possibly. I don't know if that's... Which has existed in previous games. They've stopped doing that. I'm incorrect. It's certainly something I haven't played it that way, basically, but I don't think so.
I think from... I think it might be from Absolution they stopped doing the first-person view onwards.
But, yeah, I don't know about you, that it just seems like a game where immersing yourself in that environment is even better. I'm not sure how the costumes are going to work and how, like, mirrors and things are going to work, but...
Apparently, yeah, there's a lot of move controller mucking around to get your clothes on and off and stuff. You do actually have to act it out, which does sound funny to me.
Yes.
Because my girlfriend's just finished every Uncharted game during the summer holidays, so now she's looking for new things to play. I think I've got a Hitman game. Maybe you could try one of those. And I looked in my library. I was like, oh, I have Hitman 1 and 2, and I have yet to play any of them. So maybe I should start playing through these games myself before I start getting excited about VR coming to Hitman 3.
Yeah, I think I played a portion of 1, and then I played a bit of 2 at a launch event thing I went to for it.
Yes, I remember.
But then also played quite a bit of the game after it came out as well. That the level in the... with the F1 track and everything around that is an amazing, like, gameplay experience kind of level. And just, yeah, if you play nothing alone, play that level at least, basically. But yeah, like, generally, really fun game, really enjoyable. One that I like, and I literally said to my flatmate the other day, oh, we haven't played any Hitman. You need to play some of that. Yeah, you'll really like that, basically. And so, yeah, I might now save that for when the VR game comes out, or the VR, you know. They didn't entirely make it clear whether it's going to be a separate game or just a kind of additional purchase.
It looked like it's a full playable alternative, just judging by the trailer. I didn't look that much into it. But I'm excited because I want to play through the other two games anyway. And then the VR component, it's more something that I'm likely to go, like, I'd want to play through normally first and then go back into mess around a bit with it and then see if I really get into it. But I'm more excited about, because they have very, really nicely rendered environments for you to play in. And the new game has, like, Dubai and stuff. And I like this idea of, like, these tropical locations on your VR, even if you've got a garrote guy halfway through, you know. But it's like a nice alternative to, while we're not able to go on holiday at the moment, you know, and I'm already bored, so the immersion's there.
I was going to say, you're already cosplaying as the character, so we're good. Just need that big barcode tattoo on the back of your head.
Well, that's when no one sees the back of my head, so I can't tell. I'm going to pick the second one, because I'm going to steal one, which I reckon you're going to go for.
Yeah,
Vader Immortal, a Star Wars VR series. There was a launch trailer for that, because that's coming out this month, I think, 20-something? 22nd, sounds right. So this is the entire five episodes of the Star Wars VR series of Darth Vader Immortal. And I watched some bits and the story looks rubbish, but VR Star Wars, like,
you get a lightsaber, Coleman, you get a lightsaber. Yeah.
Move controllers. When the Wii came out, and I looked at that controller, and I went, oh, "Wait for Star Wars games with this thing."
Beam Katana.
Yeah, that didn't quite pan out as well as I wanted it to. But move controller, first person VR Star Wars, you know, lightsaber. It worked for Beat Saber, so why not?
Yes,
I think that could be very, very fun.
What, Star Wars Beat Saber?
Sure, why not? That's just Beat Saber, but you play it on the PC, so you can put in Star Wars. That 70s, like, disco Star Wars. Yeah, like that. That'd be fun. What is your second game that you're excited about, Tim?
The second one, I could possibly pick the expansion for Control, except for I haven't played Control, so I won't. But I was just excited about the fact that may be Alan Wake kind of linked up. A lot of people have rumored about the Control universe,
the whole universe
being the same thing, and that coming together. I'm I that that makes me more excited to possibly, and I've been meaning to anyway, possibly anyway, it's on my wish list of stuff and just keeping an eye on the price, but meaning to pick up Control at some point. But I will actually pick the Pedestrian.
Yes, like that looks lovely.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Little puzzle platformer, and as people know, I'm not massively keen on my platform games unless they're doing something fun and interesting and different, and this seems to be doing exactly that, basically. And I really like the kind of graphical style. For anyone that didn't see, it was almost like you're kind of making your way across road signs in a 3D environment, but you're on a 2D platformer on those road signs, basically.
Right.
And moving from one different sign to another and different connected signs and stuff like that. Yeah, it just looked really interesting and a bit different, basically.
Yeah, there's a guy who's into graphic design the way you are. I can imagine that's really appealing to you as well.
Yes. Yeah. That definitely,
take your work home. Why not?
Yeah, yeah.
For me, I was going to go Godfall, but then the more I think about Godfall, the kind of Destiny looter shooter, but turned into a hack and slash. I like that premise, but we've got Avengers coming up so soon, and that's pretty much the same kind of thing. So I think I'm going to have to talk about...
Talking about Bugsnax.
Bugsnax. Good.
We find, in there that caught me by surprise.
We finally saw the gameplay trailer for Bugsnax, and it's creepy and adorable at the same time, and I like the look of this. So this is the guy's Wild Horses. They made Octodad. If you don't know, I really, really like that game. Very fun to play through. So the gameplay we saw initially was these kind of walrus creatures that eat these sort of Pokemon made of food, Bugsnax, and when they eat something, the property of the Bugsnax will become manifested as part of them. So if they eat a strawberry, a strawberry bug thing, then their arms will turn into lots of strawberries.
As they do.
Don't know why I really like this idea, but I like it. So they've elaborated on the game a little bit more. It's a first person kind of island explorer. The woman talking in the first one, who seems like a Steve Irwin type of character, who's watching all the Bugsnax and trying to work out what's up with them and why they react the way they do and stuff. She gets kidnapped, and you are an investigator that has gone to go find this woman. Along the way, you are kind of doing fetch quests and helping people out. And I think I am going to be picking up this game just out of morbid curiosity.
Okay. Yeah. I think it looks cute. I can understand why people like the look of it. I think it freaks me out a bit too much.
Oh, it freaks me out as well, but that's why I like it.
Very much in the Viva Pinata
camp. The fear of the unknown.
No, the Viva Pinata thing of cute kind of animal thing. I kind of see the appeal, but I think it freaks me out a bit too much to play and enjoy it because they all look a bit freaky. And I don't like the idea of my arms turning into strawberries.
I think it is just the Viva Pinata kind of comparisons that is drawing me to this game and the song.
Talking about Bugsnax.
Yeah. Anyway, that's... Yeah,
I will say there was quite a... I know you wanted to gloss over a few things. There's two other things I'd like to mention before we move on this, though, quickly. You mentioned Godfall before. There's a lot of people saying similar, and I thought that the presentation they showed actually did me more to put off Godfall than it did to turn me onto it, basically. Like, I quite like the look of some of Godfall, but I thought this presentation didn't do them any favours and kind of went a bit deeper into things, and I kind of understand the game a bit more, but I thought it was just a very dull, dry presentation overall.
Well, all the trailers they've shown off before, it kind of made me think this might be like a Souls-like or a Born Souls, whatever you want to call those games. And actually, it reminds me of there was a iPad Apple game where you used to collect different weapons and an armor, and you would fight by swiping at the screen, and I really got into those
like
games, but I can't
the
remember the
knife games.
Yeah, well, it was like really, it was made by Epic, and it was a really big game at the time, but I really, really got into this for my commute, and it just reminded me of that and the way the overall look of the game. It does appeal to me, but it might be I will wait for this to go down in price and pick it up on a sale, and then when I'm done with Avengers, really get into this.
I saw someone, and I can't remember who it was, otherwise I'd quote them on it, but I saw someone comment on the fact that this looks like the new... Oh, what was the name of that? Really... Right, the one game that everyone waited for ages, Canadian developer.
Anthem.
About angels and things.
Anthem. I don't know, I didn't play Anthem.
I can't remember the name. That's going to really annoy me.
Oh, flipping from... No, become human.
Something human.
Something like that. With the Valkyries and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, it was rubbish.
Yes, and that was the one. And this looks like the new version of that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It was a 360 game, and I picked it up for £4, and that was too much.
Yeah, I remember playing and going, oh, yeah, no.
No. All right, we're going to move on. So
two
that was
human.
State of play.
Was it two human?
Two human.
Two
I was
human.
Close. I was close. Become human, two human.
Yep. The other thing I just wanted to mention, and I won't mention it too much, but as it was the only world premiere trailer in here, we got to hear about Hood, Outlaws and Legends, which, yes, as it was a premiere, I guess that's why I hadn't heard of it before.
Aeon Must Die was a world premiere trailer.
Oh, okay, that was a premiere as well, wasn't it? Yes. Okay, yeah, those two. But yeah, like, I don't know if I am or am not interested in Hood. Like, I quite like the idea of a decent Robin Hood game. Not entirely sure that was it, but...
Good. That's state of play.
Yeah.
And let's talk about Night City Wire, because that happened a couple of days ago. We got episode two. They went through three different videos, Life Pass, Refused, Becoming Samurai, and Tools of Destruction. So Life Pass is about the three different choices you get at the start of the game, where you're going to be coming from. Unlike Mass Effect, where it's kind of literally... There's a couple of dialogue choices that are going to pop up every now and then, reflecting on your background. This is, are you someone who grew up on the streets in the city? If so, then you're going to start on the streets in the city. Are you a nomad, a person that grew up on the outside of the city, away from civilization, and work your way into the city? Or are you someone that works for this big conglomerate company, and therefore you're then going to bust out this company, presumably, or they're going to try to kill you, and then that takes you off into the city. So it is literally the three choices give you three different paths that you're starting on, and I like that. I don't know what you thought about, Tim, but I think I'm going to go with either the corporate or the nomad type, whatever you call them, the outskirts people.
Right, listeners will know that I do this on rare occasion with a game, but this is one game where I've gone a bit dark on the pre-launch media on this now. I know I'm picking it up. I don't really want to see much else on it, kind of idea.
Okay.
So, happy to discuss it. I'm not going to stop there, but I haven't been fully educated myself on this, hence the fact I haven't been watching the Night City Wires and a few other things.
Okay, fair enough.
It's rare I do that with a game in the position that I'm in on a podcast, because I appreciate that makes me fairly useless for discussing things. But this is one game where I'm like, okay, I'm going to allow myself that with this. And yeah.
Okay. Well, that said, there's three of us, and we're all probably going to be playing Cyberpunk, and there's three different paths. So I reckon we all pick one different and see what happens.
Ah, good plan. Good
so
plan.
Dan should be the corporate man, because he's Dan the corporate man.
Yeah.
I'll be the nomad, because I'm the outsider.
Uh-huh.
And Tim grew up on the... Sorry?
I grew up on the streets. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you grew up on the streets, so you can be the street tough.
Yeah?
Yeah. The mean streets of...
Mean streets of Finchley.
Yeah. Yeah. You know about them Finchley hard men. Refused Becoming Samurai, that was about... There's a band called The Refused, and they're basically the voice of Keanu Reeves and his band Samurai, and it's about them trying to imitate, change their accents and stuff, and being the music of the game, basically. It was interesting.
Okay.
But they also, the singer also admitted he's not a big gamer and doesn't quite realize the scope of what he's doing here, but they make documentaries about it and people are excited, so he's quite happy with this. And if it means their music gets listened to, then the more, you know, more power to them. Tools of Destruction, that was just going through the weapons that will be available to you. I like the look of this, because nothing's really appealed me in so far as there's guns. I like guns. But they kind of describe the way guns work. So you've got smart guns that will fire these high velocity rounds that can fire through walls. You've got more like military heat seeking type weapons that can seek out your enemies around surfaces and things. And you've got your regular bullets and what have you, energy guns and that kind of stuff. But it was more so it's the augmented weapons that I like. And I've not been that excited about the idea of the kind of mantis blades that come out of your arms. They kind of freak me out. But they did show this kind of the Iron Man, your wrist opens up and a kind of hand cannon comes out of the wrist. And that stuff looked really cool. So I think I got an idea of how my character's going to start looking now.
Going to fully augment your body, yeah?
Yes, but not like a mantis, because that scares me.
I'll have any adaption to my body as long as it doesn't make me look more spider-like, basically. That's your thing, yeah?
Yeah, basically. I have all the Spider-Man costumes. I can't deal with Iron Spider. It makes me cry. Yeah. Cyberpunk 2077. I'm really looking forward to this game. Not as much as I am Avengers, weirdly.
Really?
But we'll talk about that in a sec.
Ooh, that's big.
I think it's just because it's Avengers. I'm going to be excited about Avengers over a property that, you know, it's a new property to me.
Yeah.
But I am still very excited about this game. And I hope the... Actually, because I'm going for a PC version, so I'll be okay. I'm hoping the jump of the last gen to this the next gen will... not be too jarring, and if you pick it up on PS4 or Xbox, like a regular Xbox One, it's not going to look too downgraded to what will be the next versions of the game, because that could be irritating, and we don't know when the next versions of the game are coming out, so hey-ho.
Yeah, I would be surprised if this wasn't one of the games that gets a fairly early... treatment for the next gen consoles, no, because it's going to be the one of the ones that really shows it off and shows off the difference that the new console can do a little bit. No, I would not be surprised if the reason or a partial reason for some of the delay, at least, or one of the, you know, recent delays, was possibly to you know, give them more time to get that to a closer kind of. Closer to the launch of the original game and closer to the launch of the consoles as well, the new consoles as well. But yeah, one I'm excited for. So
no, but it looks cracking. Since the version that we watched, which I know some things have changed since that presentation we watched through, the wall running and stuff has gone now. So it has changed a little bit. But from that point, I went from, yes, I have an interest in this game, but then again, I didn't finish The Witcher, so I don't know if I'll get through it. To seeing that presentation, go, I want to play in this world,
ooh,
and I like that. I want this to be my sandbox, and I want to play. And the more I see about it now through these Nightwire episodes, I'm getting more and more excited.
The one problem I have with this game
is it's not out yet.
Right? No, it's a. Well, okay, that's two problems then. But no, the other problem I have with this game and the fact, like as I said, really looking forward to it, really, really definitely one of my most highly anticipated games, especially, you know, coming out this year sort of thing. My one concern is, as you say, there's three paths through the game. There's quite a lot of choice you can do. There's quite a lot of other things to go through. And I'm like, this looks like a really massive game, and knowing them, this is probably going to be bigger than longer than The Witcher. So that's probably 60 hours plus. And it's the type of game where I think you get to see almost the best of the universe when you do get to see what the differences is between the choices you make and the, you know, the consequences they have. And so, yeah, like how many 60 hours do they want me to put into this game? Man,
yeah,
I'm not sure I can and help.
But with the game, like, and it was the same with my Skyrim playthrough, anything like this, with RPGs that have a choice to them, I like this idea that you all go play in your separate little communes, your separate little bubbles, and then you come back together and you went, oh man, I took a car and I shot this guy and then I robbed this place and but then I found that, oh no way, I'm the leader of the resistance over here, and oh wow, I did this over here, like that kind of stuff. The water cooler moments,
the water cooler,
I really like
the water cooler
stuff.
Chats will be very cool for this, because no two missions, you know, no two characters will be the same, and like
and I like the idea that my experience is my own, and I don't need to play through several times, because I like it being my experience. A lot of the time with these big games where they go, if you do this you get this, if you do this you get this, I tend to just go the one way, because I like that I crafted my story. I mean, someone else technically crafted the story, but I like that it was my own story. I experienced it, which I like with this. Right, anyway, that is all the news we've got time for, so we are going to go through the games we've done played. And Tim, I know you've got a review game, but can we please talk about Marvel's Avengers?
I know how excited you are, so let's.
I'm so excited. So I managed to sort us out with some beta codes for myself and Dan and Tim. Dan isn't here, so it's annoying because I wanted the Destiny comparisons from Dan.
Oh, yes, that would have been interesting.
My Destiny knowledge is lacking in comparison to him, even though I have put hundreds of hours into Destiny.
Well, I'd say he's more up to date with how it is now and how comparable that is to what this is. Basically.
Yeah, I would say Dan's more up to date to T. Good. Right, so the Marvel's Avenger beta, this is a combination of single player and multiplayer content. So it starts off with the A-Day content that me and Tim spoke about on our EGX episode last year, where you get to try through all the different characters apart from Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
And it kind of kicks off the story.
I was going to say, that had changed a bit, though, since the last time we played.
Yeah, it was pretty close to what we played.
Had been refined.
Had a little bit of an extra story thrown in at the end, but the controls seemed more refined. I especially found with Black Widow, the controls seemed a lot tighter. I found myself when you fight against Taskmaster.
Destro? Oh, Taskmaster, that's right, yes.
No, wrong franchise.
Wrong franchise.
Wrong company. When you fight against Taskmaster, I found myself a lot of dodging but not being able to hit on the offensive afterwards, which you've got to be quite quick and snappy to do. This time there seemed to be a lot more leniency, which is good because it's tutorial level.
Yeah.
It makes sense, you know.
I do fear that's a bit more quick timey than the rest of the game and may lull people into thinking that that is what the rest of the game is like.
Then we got two different examples of the kind of two-player modes where it's still story-based, but you have the choice of having other characters. Apparently, if you got through to level 15, I think it was, then you could go and play that level at your own will with anyone you wanted, really.
Okay.
But in the actual story mode as it popped up, then you played it on your own and you had the choice of bringing someone who's already played it back in to play it again. So in the case of when I played it through, I was the Hulk and you have Kamala Khan with you. When you played it, I jumped in as the Hulk and you got to play as Kamala Khan. So you got a different view to that game as I initially had it.
But weirdly, I don't think it... it's a minor thing, but I don't think it came up saying that I had completed that level because I hadn't played that level as Hulk and it wanted me to play that level as Hulk.
Okay.
So that's something that I don't think is a major problem, but they definitely need to flag that up if you're playing multiplayer and you have to be a particular character. I don't know if that was unique to the early part of the game, but that's something they definitely need to surface a bit more information on possibly. But
maybe.
But yeah, like, you were really happy with this, Coleman, which I
really liked this.
I must preface that from what I could see, you were much happier than the rest of the world seems to be.
Oh, apparently, yeah.
And I'm definitely happy to play it. I can see the appeal. I wasn't quite as mad as you, but I will happily play it with you because it's fun enough for me to do so, and it's Marvel, and it ticks a few of the right boxes, basically.
Because this is basically Ultimate Alliance with a budget.
Yes.
But with a limited roster to begin with, and then the rest added in later by the looks of it. What I found when we got to the stuff where you can have four players, and in this case you could have Kamala Khan, Hulk, Iron Man, and Black Widow. So no Thor, sadly, because Thor seems like a lot of fun to play with.
Thor
seems
good.
I want to play
more Thor.
God of Thor, but, you know.
So when we got to the four-player stuff, on my own, the four-player levels are more for grindy stuff to get your stats up ready to carry on with the single player, which is the only kind of problem I have with this game is I want to play the single player first and then start doing the multiplayer, or at least play the story stuff with my friends, but you can't do that in the single player story levels. Almost like they changed the idea of this game partway through development. they went, we should make a Destiny. But I don't like the idea that I could be playing through the single level and they go, I'm really stuck on this level. Oh, it's because I need to go grind for 10 hours with my mates and then come back and carry on playing it. I have a fear that could be a problem.
It did seem to do some clever auto-balancing when we were playing like with two characters that were at quite different levels, it still seemed to be doing a decent job of making it fun for us both to play, which we've seen in other games when you're a bit too far apart. Sometimes that's Division. Not always the case, basically. Division, I'm looking at you. Destiny had a bit of a problem with that originally as well, I remember, no? Like, once people power leveled a bit above you, you were like, oh, I can't really play
this isn't
you
fun
guys
for me,
anymore.
Yeah. But so, I really... Once we started actually playing the multiplayer together, and because I see this game and immediately I go, right, I'm playing as Iron Man. I'm definitely playing as Iron Man. I love Iron Man. His moveset in the game is great, like especially when you're, rather than doing punches, doing just the pulse of fighting, because he does all the moves he does in the film, and it looks amazing the way he does it. So that looks like something fun to master and get the Hulkbuster and all that stuff.
I also thought his flight mode was really good as well. Like the fact that you can quite easily, fluidly stick from like going from the ground to flight to then actually boosting round as well. And at first it felt a bit weird, but it quite quickly and easily I got quite used to the flight and sort of zipping around. And I really like how that works. To the point where, any flying character in the game is probably going to be quite fun to play, basically.
Yeah, Thor's going to be similar, I'd imagine, but slower. I like the flying. It's going to be a weird compliment to give, but it's not as good as Anthem. Anthem's flight is a lot better than in this game. But
yeah, unfortunately,
it's a bigger,
they forgot to put anything else in the game.
it's a bigger scope of game level and stuff you need to be playing around with, so that's probably why the flying is better. So I thought I was going to be playing as Iron Man, but my girlfriend's also a big Iron Man fan, and she wanted to be playing as Iron Man. So I went, you know what? I'm quite enjoying being Hulk, and I think Hulk might have accidentally become my new main because he's very, very fun. And a lot of people have been playing going, Hulk's a rubbish character. He's slow, and he's not fun to play with. Like, when you start leveling him up and getting his moves and things, he's a right old laugh. He's like a big... He's like playing Bane. He's a big wrestler, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know. I got the impression that we might not open up the moves that we did quite as quickly in the final game.
No, oh, probably
I think,
not. Yeah.
I think they got us to the end points of those of the kind of spec trees a little bit quicker than we didn't get necessarily to the end point, but we got further down than we would have done just generally having played it possibly. But I think it was a good idea because it got us to see some of the kind of greater powers later in the game, basically. Not the kind of end game stuff necessarily, but more than we would have done. And I think end game. We're in the end game now.
It's inevitable.
But yeah, like I don't know. I think the other thing that we kind of did mention as well, like the single player portion that you play is right at the very beginning of the game, and then the multiplayer portion that we played skips over a little bit of the story and the build-up and exactly how Kamala Khan gets on the whatever the hell the name of the helicarrier thing is that I can't remember.
The Chimera?
Chimera, that's it. And yeah, so there's a bit of the story that's kind of glossed over and it jumps ahead to that bit. It kind of makes sense again. But yeah, I worry that it might be a slow wind-up to get back to that point within the story. Imagining more than there is in between, but it might just be like a couple of cutscenes and one level or something. But it seemed like there'd been quite a lot that had gone on that they mentioned in other cutscenes and other stuff. And you're like, oh, okay, well.
Well, there's like a large time skip between A-Day and the events of what are happening. And I think there might be two levels in between them, like not that much, to be honest.
Yeah. But anyway, But generally, yeah, I think it kind of obviously makes sense to have forwarded and showed us that portion of the story where the game world opens up a bit more and you've got a kind of war table type thing to like choose levels from. The only problem I had was that I think the like medium-sized levels were decent. I think the big level, and especially the one that we played at the end that had a kind of big boss tank thing that we fought and
something
stuff.
Something that we were a little bit under-leveled for.
Yeah, but... Like, we went in and went, oh, we're getting our asses handed to us. Oh. And I think that was partly because we were a bit over-leveled for some of the stuff that we were doing before, so we were breezing through it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then...
I think in that case, it was a case of I was a little bit under-leveled
for it. Yes. And I was
a bit... And you were about 10 levels lower than me, So it probably wasn't the best idea, but it was the last level on the demo and I really wanted to finish.
Yeah, we really wanted to have a go. And I was fortunately Iron Man in that, and he's basically invincible when he breaks out the Hulkbuster armor, which is the most fun, basically.
It is, but this is where I've got a problem with the game. Iron Man, and and I'm getting sick of people saying this. They've got the Avengers of voice actors. They're pretty much any famous voice actor in video games you've got. They're in this lineup.
Yes, and you don't like it being.
The only problem I have with that is Tony Stark is Nolan North. I love Nolan North. He great voice actor. I love Nathan Drake. He is in video games known a lot for Deadpool. Yeah. And when he is Iron Man, he sounds like Deadpool. And it really is really bizarre to me. Especially, it wasn't that long ago we were playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
And he Deadpool was Deadpool.
Can feature. Yeah, he was Deadpool in that game. But he has his... He doesn't have Tony Stark quips. He just literally goes out for jokes now. So he really does sound like Deadpool. Like when you call down the Hulkbuster suit, he can go, "Who are you going to call? Hulkbuster!" Like, no, don't do that. You don't sound like Tony Stark.
Yeah, that's not done? Stark.
Yeah. But otherwise, yeah, that was the only real issue I had. And I think in one case when we were playing it, it booted me out partway through the level, but you kept carrying on. It's like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, there was a few technical issues, which I think will excuse as it's their first beta. And yeah, like, that's fine. Like, it's okay. Well, there's a few things that we will gloss over and haven't really mentioned on that basis. But I thought gameplay was fun. The one thing I was going to go back to that I kind of started and didn't get back to my end point on was... No, it's fine. But the smaller levels, the ones that were, like, really quick to get in and out of and, like, didn't have much substance to them, and they felt a bit vapid, like a bit like filler.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't need those little tiny levels where... Like, it almost seemed to take longer to, like, pick a character, do this, or whatever, let's get that done. All right, and let's get launch the mission, and let's do the mission, and now the mission's over, let's go home. Like, it was like, no, I want a longer mission that's worth going on a mission for, please.
Well, the thing is, with those, they're kind of like your, I forget what they call them, but they do the smaller levels in Destiny, and it's levels that you've played before, and you just kind of run through a playlist of them. I think it's intended for that, where they stack a bunch on for them. They're your mini grind levels. You could boot up the game and go, hey, I've got half an hour, I'll have a quick go on Avengers, do one of these. I've got a little bit of experience in my character and stuff. What I found very funny about them were... Because these are levels for picking up your loot, for your loot and your grinding. There's not really a lot to them. Most of them comprise of smash these things or go here and hit this button or go into this room and quickly beat all the enemies. I played one of them as Iron Man, flew ahead of all the other Avengers, let myself into a room, flew to the end, destroyed something, and it went level complete. And I looked at my record, because I checked 8 hours of footage, by the way. I checked my recording and I went, that was literally 50 seconds.
Yeah, see.
So some of them are quite easy to cheese through, and I'm assuming that's a balance that will be brought in later, but that did amuse me.
Yeah, as I said, there shouldn't be a level you can get through in a minute. I think even if you don't try and cheese it, it's probably like 3-4 minutes at most, kind of thing. I mean,
yeah, it depends.
They some of those short levels just seemed a bit too short for my liking. But generally, the fact that I think we both came to the kind of decision that, oh, this feels very much like Destiny, but with Marvel characters, I'm kind of down for that. Like, I'm in for that. Like, I didn't dislike Destiny, but yeah, I have a similar problem with this than I have with Destiny as a whole. Like, I'm not sure. I like the game. I'm not sure I like supporting their business model.
No, that's fair enough. And I don't like the. It's a problem I've got with a lot of the game industry at the moment. I don't know if you saw the recent thing, if you're a Virgin customer or in the US, if you're a Verizon customer, then you get these special ugly skins.
Yeah, oh God, they look so terrible. It's like, why would you want to advertise your company by making things look worse?
Like, it kind of works on Hulk because they're just red shorts, basically, red blue shorts. But on Captain America, he looks absolutely ghastly. But the the thing that annoys me, and it's a thing with, I mean, the last generation of gaming was all about the DLC and the smaller DLC unlocks, and then this generation has been about the microtransactions. My problem's always been, if I get a game with unlockables, part of that fun of the game is unlocking everything. Yeah. That's what I want to do. I'm a completionist. I like having the full collection. If there's a fighter and there's different costumes and stuff that are hidden and characters and what have you, I want to get them all. With this, when you make exclusive costume or costume colors, no matter how terrible they may look, I want them in my collection because I want the full lineup there. And that's now something I've been cheated out of.
Well, I don't think anyone can do that though, no, because you can't be a Virgin customer and a Verizon customer kind of thing.
I mean, the Virgin and Verizon, they're the same skins.
Oh, are they?
It's
okay.
A red skin. I've forgotten what the other one was. It was another company. I can't remember what it was in the US, but you had like a Hulk with a gangster chain and
and I remember seeing
Iron Man that looked like the desert one. I can't remember what that company that was for, but again, I'd like that Iron Man.
They looked better,
but I can't have it.
Their alternate. I don't know if that's better or worse because they look like alternate costumes that would be worth having. But anyway, but
yeah, it's the same problem. If you get this on the Xbox or the PC, you can never have Spider-Man, and it's crappy. But yeah, I've got this pre-ordered. I'm happy. I'm picking it up.
As I said, I really like it, and I'm probably going to pick it up to play it with you because I think it'll be a lot more fun in multiplayer. Maybe we can find some other people to play with us too.
We've got to sell down on a PS4 copy.
Yes.
Because I know he's set on the PC below, but Dan, Spider-Man. Come on, Dan.
Dad,
Spider-Man.
It's Peter Parker.
I don't think you're going to get that much benefit in the PC version this time around. I really don't. Yeah, anyway. Right, that is the game we have previewed. You have a game that you want to review.
Yes, I have indeed. And before I go any further, I should point out that I was given a review code for this. Also point out that this is the one we talked about last week that I also got an extra review code for, and we've had one of our community members pick that up. We only managed to get the code to him yesterday, so I did say that probably wasn't enough time to actually, you know, play through and formulate a review. So he's going to get that to us in time for next week, basically. So...
Oh, good. Okay.
That has been taken care of. For anyone who didn't know, the game I mentioned is, and the game I've been playing, is a game called The Ottoman Empire, and I've been playing the Switch version, basically. And that is Ottoman, as in otters.
Otter man.
Mm-hmm. And generally, as in space otters.
Yes.
Otters from space. It is a couch co-op or competitive shooter, kind of a platformy shooter almost kind of thing. You've got like a jetpack where you can boost up like really high into the environment and then kind of fly around the environment with the jetpack. But and you also kind of shoot your gun, and that both your gun and your jetpack can be refilled by dipping yourself in a river, basically. And I quite like that mechanic, at least. Like, it basically... It feels like a more regimented Splatoon, basically. So you've got the kind of rivers that run through the level, and you can dive... You can submerge yourself in them to kind of fill up your ammo and your jetpack. But then you can also boost while you're in those rivers to use them to like help get from around the environment a bit quicker as well. And if you hold down boost, you kind of jump out of the environment and then can boost out of there and kind of jump around.
Right.
Generally, it's kind of, there's different kind of objectives or different kind of game modes, and you set up like a string of objectives. Like in the multiplayer, you can both get to choose like your choices from a set of like, I think there's 8 different types or so, and you both get to choose, I think, 3 different types, and then it kind of puts together 3 from the ones that you've picked, basically. The campaign mode, you can play in co-op, although I didn't find this out till a bit later on, because you have to make a party in the lobby, and then you join a screen that looks like you should be able to join it at any time, and then we didn't find out, because we thought people should be able to join that screen and only later noticed when we went to play the verses and then came back to play the campaign that you could actually play the campaign in co-op as well. It seemed to signify that you could, but when we couldn't join on the screen where you're choosing characters, we assumed that you couldn't. But you can. Anyway.
It makes sense.
Like, there are elements of this game that I have grown to like. It does not make a
otters.
Very... Yeah, otters, tick. Like, it's got a kind of cel-shaded look to it, which I think I liked better in the trailers than I do seeing it in actual motion, basically. It's not bad.
Yeah, because in the trailers, it looks nice and cartoony. In the screenshots of gameplay, it looks a little bit jank.
Yeah, and it doesn't pop as much as it made out that it would, kind of thing. It feels like a bit of... I don't mean to be too reductive, but
a strange...
bit of a poor man's cell shading. Like, it hasn't been quite done properly. Like, they've just run a slightly thick line around the characters.
Yeah, it's big Tony Hawk 5 vibes that I'm getting from the style. And it's just because, like, in some, it looks like a cartoon. It looks like 13. It looks like a cool cell shaded cartoon. And then in other screenshots, like, and something looks 3D and shiny and reflective, and but has a big black line around it, and it just doesn't look right. Like, it looks like they, because what they did with Tony Hawk was they made this game and went, it doesn't look very good. Let's just chuck a cell shaded filter on it and hope that makes it look better. And it didn't. And I get a little bit of, I'm not saying that's what they did, but that's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think it would have looked nicer had that been executed to a higher standard, basically.
Yeah.
And as I said, there are elements I'm going to like, and I can see it being quite decent fun, especially if you've got, like, kids. This is like, and I don't mean to be like, it's not this, it's like, there are kids that are way better than me at, you know, competitive
Fortnite.
Shooting games like Fortnite that are way more complicated. And I'm not just fobbing it off as saying, you know, this is, it's not very good to play it with your kids kind of thing. But it is a family-friendly game that I could see being quite easy to pick up and play with kids and go, okay, this is the thing. It doesn't help in creating a very good first impression. For one,
okay,
the tutorial is terrible. Like, I was almost more confused about playing the game after playing the tutorial than I was before I started, basically. It then also, it's made some really odd design decisions, both in the like level design and in the structure of the game, that harm the enjoyment of the game, that are so frustrating to me that it just annoys me when I'm playing the game, basically. For example, those rivers that I mentioned, yeah? They are fairly crucial. You need them for ammo, and you need them for refilling your jetpack. The only other bar in the game, and they don't label any of these, so you have to kind of work them out for yourselves, but the only other bar is your health bar, and you can, like, fill that up by, like, picking up things throughout the environment. There's a pickup that refills all of your things. So it makes the river slightly less useful. Okay, but fine, I can deal with that. The problem with the rivers is that they are a light blue surface in the environment. That's fine. Again, that in itself is not a problem. When it becomes a problem in the first level of the game, you put a surface that is a decorative fountain that is almost the exact same color as the river, where you can't dunk yourself in or refill your stuff. And I'm like, what? Why would you do that? Then take that error and go, well, if you thought that was an error, see how you like this one. We made the whole level.
Hold my beer.
No, we made the whole level out of ice. Try finding the rivers now, because we've made them look frozen as well. I'm like,
do you know what? I kind of like that idea.
Like,
here's a game. Like, can you imagine, like, have you ever played Mario Sunshine, where you got the little water jetpack, and the whole point of that game, you've got to fill up and all the mechanics are done for your water jetpack. Imagine you then put a level and you go, ice level, all the water's frozen, get through that, you flat, fat plumber.
And I wouldn't have a problem with that, but don't have, I can't remember exactly the order, but they are two of the opening three levels of the game. And I'm like, come on. And then also, like, the one thing that is something you will get past the more you play the game, but was really annoying to start with. They literally flash up in a fast appearing in time than I can read the words, the instructions for what you need to do for that level of gameplay. Yeah, so I've got no idea what I'm doing, and you flash up, I don't get time to read it, and then you put up a slightly obtuse blueprint, which only makes sense in retrospect after playing three or four rounds and going, oh, right, yeah, okay, shoot the bomb and shoot the bomber. Okay, yeah, I can make sense of that now because I've played the level and I know what's going on. So, like, a lot of the time I was going
into... You are very animated this episode.
I know. A lot of the time I was just going into the level going, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know what's going on. What is going on? And then, yeah, there's just odd other decisions like that. Like, you unlock other characters as you go, and every character I've unlocked so far is significantly worse than the first character, especially at certain game modes. But, yeah, like I don't know. The first character is the kind of all-round, all-balanced character, and it's got, like, dual-wielding guns. And then the second character's got, like, a sniper, and then the third character's got a rocket launcher. But you also get, like, a special... And the rocket launcher guy is quite useful, but his special is entirely useless for half of the game modes. Or not half of the game modes, but any of the modes where there's flying enemies, because your attack is a rage-based melee attack and stops you from being able to shoot while you're raging, basically. So there was one level where I couldn't use my special.
And there's a crocodile with boxing gloves, and I want to play as that crocodile.
Yes, and he's reasonably fun. But again... melee character in a shooting game where there's airborne enemies where I cannot get to. What are you doing?
Yeah, but the crocodile's dressed like Apollo Creed.
And as I said, like, I'm getting a bit annoyed about the things that are annoying, but the things about the game annoy me, not because the game is terrible, but because the game is made worse by odd decisions, and I can't understand some of the decisions. One of the things that I think really harms
it... from their potential.
And I really hope it's something that they update, because it's something I actually... it actually annoys me and hate it when this is done. They have a star system, yeah? And we're all used to the star system from, you know, unlocking levels as you
Angry
go,
Birds and onwards.
Exactly, right? And that system is really good at pulling gamers through your game and encouraging them to play levels and go back and play them. Fine, that's not a problem.
Yeah, perfect them.
But when it is badly implemented, it does the opposite of that. Now, what I'm saying is, it's badly implemented just because they have a harsh amount of stars that you need to get to unlock the next level. Every, like, three levels, it stops and puts a hard barrier, and you have to go back and replay the levels to get two or three stars. It keeps on making that level a bit harder, or seemingly, like, the amount you need to achieve. So what that means is, you are, before I have seen a third of your game's content, you are encouraging me to go back and play the levels I'm either bad at or have not enjoyed.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? So you're forcing me to play the game, the bits of your game I like the least. Whereas that star system should be making me avoid those levels, or allowing me to avoid the levels and the bits of the game that I don't like, so that I can play the bits that I do, and then I'm encouraged to go back to other levels to get more stars to unlock things or do other stuff, or, you know.
Yeah, and I feel you should have, like, a separate ranking system there. What you could do is go, okay, so here's the star system. If you really want to use the Angry Bird star system, this is to encourage you to then go back and play this level and perfect it. In the game, you know, during the level, maybe collectibles, coins, you know, Mario Kart it. With the coins, you can then buy other levels. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
I think that is a fine balance between the two.
Yes.
However, I hate the star system because it's very mobile.
But as I said, I don't have a problem with it is well implemented. All you have to do to make this a better implementation is require less stars to get through each stage, because you compound that error because it's a cumulative total as well. So for each time you go up, you are forcing me to go back to more of the levels that I don't like. That is a bad idea. That is fundamentally bad game design, and I don't like to see it, I'm afraid. As I said, I'm only mentioning some of these things and I'm only getting annoyed about them because they are limiting my enjoyment of the game, and I think they're fairly easy things to correct and hopefully just things that they can change. I will also mention that the developers have said that they are looking to add online at some point. At the moment, it is all couch co-op, as I mentioned before. The only other thing I'll say with that is, yeah, I found particularly because they've divided, even when you're playing in single player, they've divided the screens into four for four different characters. When you are playing not on the TV, and I've gone both ways, played on the TV and played on the small screen, you know, in handheld mode.
Yeah.
It makes some of the little icons and things and stuff like really small and really hard to see, basically. And yeah, that's something that they could do with a more dynamic kind of screen
this,
in that
this
case.
Is where the Wii U could have triumphed, because you could have had one character on the screen and one character on the controller.
Oh, that sort of stuff. But just, as I said,
that's the second weird compliment I'm giving out this week. Anthem and the Wii U.
And I would really like them to kind of, I really hope that they do take the time to kind of adjust some of those things. I'm not necessarily saying on my say so, but hopefully it's something where there are elements where they can take feedback from the community and adjust them, because there's an essence of a reasonably fun game here, basically. The one thing I was trying to find out is how much it costs, Mr. Coleman. Can you inform me of this?
Oh, it's £19.99.
I would say that is a little on the expensive side for what this is, basically.
Wow, okay.
I think, as I said...
Well, this came out last month, so in the tradition of third-party games on the Nintendo Switch, you may see it hit a sale pretty soon.
I would, if it's... And I know I've been a bit negative on it, but that's because I really hope they kind of pick up on some of those things and do that, as I said. Not necessarily for me, but like I think they are things that need adjusting to make this a better game, basically. And reasonably easy things to implement. But
what would you call a reasonable price for the Ottoman Empire?
Ottoman Empire. I would probably say about half that or lower, basically. And it half is that. With the proviso that you have people in your own home that you can play with, because it is definitely more fun in playing the campaign in co-op, basically. That's actually where probably had the most fun. And I said, if you're looking for a little game to play with your kids and it's kind of family friendly shooting game, you got otters that kind of, you know, launch flurries of fish at each other and stuff like that. Like, I have had fun in this, but it does seem like some of the modes would be better when you've got like three or four people playing as well, basically. So that means that, you know, online coming may make that easier in the future as well. But the only thing I'd worry about that is, like, we were okay playing two-player split screen, although some of the taller characters made it harder to see where you were aiming, which I thought was stupid.
The jaws problem.
Yeah, but generally, like, I worry a little bit about it splitting down to four, like a split four screen, and that becoming a bit small and getting a similar problem that it did in handheld mode as well, basically. But as I said, I'm a bit...
You need to play on a projector, really.
Yeah, I'm a bit harsh on this game, not because I absolutely hate it, but because I wish it to be better, basically, and I think it could...
You see the potential, and you want to see it live out its dreams.
Yeah, I mean, look... The elevator pitch of a kind of space otter-based kind of Splatoon-influenced kind of thing where you're flying around in jetpacks, I kind of like the idea of that. And I would like to see maybe, you know, it's something they can work out with this, maybe a sequel or something else. And it's one I'll keep an eye on and see where it goes. But, yeah, like... I also think it's a really good one to possibly do what we did and get a second opinion on it, because hopefully they may be a bit more of the target audience. Like, we all know I'm not exactly the biggest, like, online competitive shooter person. But, you know, I play a fair pair of shooting games, so it's not like it's completely unknowledgeable in that regard. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what our community member thinks of it next week as well, basically.
Okay. So, as I've been told off for this again, that was the Ottoman Empire. That is the game that we spoke about and we have just told you the name of. So if you zoned out partway through that and you've forgotten what the game name is, it's the Ottoman Empire
we were talking about.
There we go.
Yeah, we don't
do that more.
Yeah, we don't do that. I keep end wrappers. Yeah.
I keep forgetting. I will give you one more on this Ottoman Empire, Tim, the game that we were talking about just now, the Ottoman Empire.
Yes. And I do like a good pun in a title as well, like Ottoman Empire. Oh, yeah, I like good. That. Space Otters, all good.
You suggested they go down to 10 quid. How about this? How about 15 quid and they patch in online multiplayer?
Okay.
Would that make it worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I hate split screens. I want them to die.
See,
I'm so over split screens
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but I like the fact that it's there, basically, no?
As long as the option's there. But because me and my girlfriend play games together every now and then, but we never play them like couch co-op. We have two PlayStations in the same room. We could play this together.
Not
yeah, I want my screen.
Be as you posh
got your
as you,
screen.
Coleman.
I want my screen. I know. It's a blessing and a curse. Anyway, that is, speaking about a curse, that is all the time we have for this week. So we better do the little bit of maintenance we do at the end of these shiz. So Gosh, no Gosh update at the minute, but Geek Out for Gosh. Make sure to follow them on Twitter. Google Geek Out for Gosh and get involved somehow. You can do streams, you can support other people on streams, you can donate money, and that money goes to Great Ormond Street Hospital, which people I've worked with in the past, definitely worth giving your time and money for said hospital.
I was just going to say, like, it's also a really important time to try and give to hospitals at the moment. Like,
exactly.
Like, I know there's been a lot of this going around at the moment, but also, like, a lot of what hospitals and other organizations do to raise money at the moment is not able to happen as well. So this is one thing that can, please try and get involved. Yeah. As I said, Geek Out for Gosh. Well, as you said, but yeah.
Tabletop Tuesday still out of commission, but the loading bar in Dalston is not. You can go to the loading bar in Dalston. There are restrictions into how you play in your games, but board games are available for you to play, and many of them being ones that we've spoken on this here show ourselves anyway.
And I believe they're generally open Fridays and Saturdays, but may also be doing bookings, I think, now as well, possibly. So get in contact with them if you're interested. And if you play a game, it's generally set aside for like 24 hours, so that there's less risk of it being, you know, passed between people and stuff like that. So there might be a few less games available, but obviously there'll be a few less people, so you should still have a wide selection of games to choose from as well.
Yeah, and that's Drink Relax Play on Twitter. And as I found out, because I still had their old loading bar URL down, I didn't know they updated that. It's loading.bar, and that's genius. So well done.
Yes.
Well done for that, Jimmy. That's everything. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can do on facebook.com/BigRedBarrel. You can on twitter.com/BigRedBarrel or at Big Red Barrel on Twitter. You can go to BigRedBarrel.com. That is our... Did I say .com and of everything there? I think I did by accident.
Possibly.
Anyway, Big Red Barrel Facebook, Big Red Barrel Twitter. You can go on BigRedBarrel.com, look at this here post and look at the comments, and that's where you can add your own comments. And also on that website, there is a link on the right-hand side to Discord. Join that. It'll give you an invitation to our Discord. Save that. Join. Talk to us. We've got the BRB Lounge, the community hangout section. You can talk to us in there, mostly me and Dan. Tim doesn't know how to use Discord properly sometimes.
What's a Discord?
Exactly. We got a couple that I was meant to do this one just before your review, Tim, as a warning, but the Chugnaught. Yeah. Sorry, the Chug, is it the Chugnut or the Chugnaught? I want to say Nought, but it's spelled Nut. Okay. The Chugnut on Discord, he said, I was having my third bath of the day due to the trouser soup caused by this heat wave, and I was checking up on the latest episode. As I fell asleep, Tim was talking about. Yeah, as I fell asleep as Tim was talking about Interrogation, You Will Be Deceived. That was the game we were talking about last week, not this week, as we were talking about the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah, very different games.
And he woke up, and I woke up with white wrinkled fingers, and Tim was still talking about Interrogation, You Will Be Deceived. Yes, they went on for quite a bit last week.
Yes.
Thank you for the warning.
It was an interesting game that I hadn't heard anyone else talking about. I thought it was good. Good social commentary. Had a bit to say about it myself, but hey.
We did have a question from the week from Skydark, but I totally neglected to put it in the agenda because it's really hot and my brain has turned to mush. So I will give this on Twitter. Norman was here. Where would you rather live? Muff, Bitchfield, or Fingering Hoe? Which I'm assuming are all real places.
I'm assuming
and
they
not
are
getting
all
getting in trouble by YouTube.
Real places, not pizzas. But yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. They all sound bad. I guess.
I'd like Bitchfield, please.
I mean, do you want to live in a field of bitches? That sounds like a bad place
to
be.
Well, I used to live in Petersfield, and he didn't seem to mind, so might as well go for Bitchfield next.
I mean, I guess Muff out of the three, really.
Sorry. It's one of those names that lends well to being upon or Avon, so you could have Muff upon Avon.
Muff upon Avon, yeah.
I think that would work very well. So there you go. Make of that what you will. That somewhere Dan's head is exploding for not being able to participate in dirty jokes.
Oh, dear. Good. That's the price he pays for not being here, Coleman. That's, you know, that's right. The way the cookie crumbles.
If you want to show your outrage about Dan not being here, then do so on those community hangout ways type places that we have given you to give feedback or just give feedback for the show. That's quite nice.
Just yell it into the void.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Another way of giving feedback for this here show, because if you have enjoyed it, God help you, but you can tell us that you enjoyed it by going over to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, depending if you're a PC or Mac user. They changed the name for one, not for the other. Bit odd. We don't know why.
Yeah.
But go on there and give us a review, and we will probably read it out on the show. We tend to. Our favorite flavor is 5-star, if you could so well do. It does help us with the show. But not just iTunes as well. We are available on CastBox, Podchaser, and Stitcher. If you give us reviews on any of those, we will pick up and be able to see those reviews.
Does Spotify do reviews?
You ask this every flipping time. Yeah, Spotify do not do reviews.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. They should do.
Yeah, they should, but they don't. I'll look forward to you asking me that next week.
Okay.
Good. And for this week, this has been episode 402, so it makes sense next week we're going to talk about 403. Do you have a game you're talking about next week? Sure, why not? Oh, yeah, we're not going to be able to find the show.
Yeah.
I didn't know we'd go on that long to be able to make that joke.
Sorry, what were you going to say before that? Yep.
Do you have a review show that... Do you have a review game you're talking about next week?
Not that I presently know of. I've had a bit of a busy week here and there so far, and I was catching up with the things that I needed to review and have not jumped on anything else. Although, I'm kind of hoping that may give me some time to go back and finish Ghost of Tsushima, to be honest. So we shall see. Mm.
Okay. Well, the day this podcast comes out, I believe the open beta for Marvel's Avengers is available for all PlayStation users, and the closed beta for Xbox and PC users, so I may go play more of that.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
Well, I may do that too.
Yeah. And also Paper Mario. Still liking Paper Mario. But I won't talk about any of these next week. I'll try to find something new to talk about. Hopefully new stuff. But until that time, we will go away now and melt. And I'm going to go take another shower because I'm sweating so much.
Let that become a
lasting image in your brain.
Ah.
Yeah. Until next time, dear listeners, thank you for listening. I have been Coleman.
I might have been Tim.
And we'll see you for episode 403, hopefully with Dan. No promises. Maybe it's just Dan and we go away.
Yep, that can happen. Bye.
Your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.